Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Like Pastor Don said, I want to talk today about how to be an effective witness. Not just an effective witness, but a powerful witness. The first most important message that everyone here has ever heard was a salvation message. It was delivered to you personally. That's the most important message you've ever heard or ever will hear. But this morning, and you have for a whole year now, a short part of the year, the second most important message you'll ever hear, and that's on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do a little bit of reading and explaining this morning. Everyone has heard about the Great Commission, right? The last command, the greatest commandment, is called different things. The last command that Jesus gave us before he left. Those of us that were in the military, Sarge, Brian up there, John Clinton, all know that when you're given an order by a superior in the military, that order stands forever until it's rescinded by the person that gave it to you or someone of a higher authority comes and changes that order. Am I correct, Sarge? Thank you, sir. He outranked me. Of course, everybody outranked me. So we're going to talk about the last command that Jesus gave today. And he hasn't come back and changed it that I know of. If he did, he didn't tell me. Has he told anyone here? All right, so it's still in effect. Unless somebody of higher authority. Who's got a higher authority than God? So that message, that command still stands today, doesn't it? So let's take a look. It's in all three Gospels other than, it's in all the Gospels other than John. John, Lord love him, just like to talk about himself. Kind of like me. But the message is, and I'm going to do a little reading here, like I said, in Luke 24, verse 46 through 51. He told him, this is what is written, Luke 24, 46 through 51. He told him, who told him? Jesus. This is what is written. Written by who? God. This is God's word. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached. Right? That's a message of repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest message, right? That's why we're all sitting here today. Our sins are forgiven. Pastor John said he felt a real thanksgiving here. What are we thankful for? For our sins being forgiven. If not, where would we be headed? Hell. But thank God that's not the case because we have forgiveness. And it will be preached, spoken, brought forth in his name. Whose name? What are we preaching? The name of Jesus Christ, none other. No other way to heaven. Period. End of sentence. Beginning at Jerusalem. He says it's going to begin right here. Where does your witness begin? The day you're saved. Well, gosh, I've only been saved a day. What can I say? You can tell them how you got saved. That's your greatest witness. Till the day you die, that'll be your greatest witness, telling people what God has done for you, right? Who's better at that? You are. Who knows more of what God did for you than you? There should be a passion in that, too. I can talk about Fred's witness, what God's done for him, all the work he's given him and stuff, you know. How great, right? Work, work, work. Holy Spirit, work, work, work. That's Fred. But you know, I couldn't do it with the same passion, though I love Fred, that I can when I speak about what God has done for me, right? Something that we have passion about, it shows. Everybody was here last week for John's message. You could tell that there was a passion there, that John loves prayer. His messages are always good, but when we talk about something that's really near and dear to our heart, it shows. And it showed last week when John talked about prayer. He's a real prayer warrior. And this is something that's always been near and dear to my heart. Why? I don't know. Just something that God has put into me. Lord, I need everything put into me. And more even taken out. It said, you are witnesses of these things. That they were going to see all of this coming about. Each and every one of us here on a daily basis see God working, don't we? Those that are looking for it. The world never sees them. But every day, every minute, we see, looking around here, just at the people sitting here, I know most of the stories, most of the lives, right? It's God. Smile, Kim. It's God. Look at that lovely family. Well, other than the guy on that side. Jesus said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. All right. Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit. Who promised it? God. Does God break his promises?
No.
Does God give bad things? Good. Then we know something good is going to happen. Something that God has promised is going to happen. I'm looking forward to this. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Why did he tell him that? Stay in the city. Because they were not ready yet to go out. Were they saved? They knew he was Jesus. They'd seen him resurrected. What was missing? Why were they waiting? Why were they not ready? Power. And we're going to take a look. And you will stay there until you have been clothed. Some versions say covered. Same thing. A covering is like a spiritual armor, a shell, a tank, something that protects you, right? You go out in this world and start preaching the word of God, you need protection. Because the enemy is going to try and stop you. And that's what he's telling them there. Wait. You're the ones I'm going to send, but you're not ready yet. There's one thing missing. And what is that that's missing, do you think? From power on high. Power on high. What does power do for you? It gives you makes you strong. He gives you the ability to do something, right? I have the power to do that. It means you have the ability to do that. That's what they were waiting for something to give them the ability to go out and do this last command that Christ gave them. And that is, of course, Holy Spirit. And then it ends, and he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. End of story. No, beginning of story. Not the end of the story. The beginning of the story. That was his last command, like we said. That's the last thing. That's the most important thing. Jesus wasn't dying, but he was leaving them. Now, if somebody is on their deathbed, we can kind of relate it to that. And have you ever seen that in the movies? Like, come here, I got to tell you something. I think I left the stove on. Is that important when you're dying? Is that important when Jesus is leaving, knowing that they're going to be alone for a while? That they're on their own now. All they have to rely on is the 3 years that he gave to them. And he knew that wasn't enough. And that was what he was telling them. The Holy Spirit is going to come. I'm going to send one greater than I. Meaning the works and ability will be greater. Jesus' job was done. Now it was time for the next act. The next stage. And that was the Holy Spirit comes on the stage now with real power. He was always here. But not with the same power that Jesus was letting him pour out now that God had sent him for. Before, it was kind of give and take. A limited Holy Spirit that was given out on certain times. Like Samson. We've all read the story of Samson. Right? Talks about the Holy Spirit being on him. That's where his strength come from. When the Holy Spirit come on him, it says his strength was great. But if you read the rest of his life, that big dummy done everything wrong. Got in trouble, went with every urge he had. But that was the difference. The power, the Holy Spirit was poured out for one reason, for a time, for a certain thing, and that was to give him strength to be able to do what God wanted him to do. Now, the Holy Spirit is poured out on us everlasting. There's no end. Why there should be no end? Because when you get filled, the first thing you need to do is start pouring it out. A glass of water filled is great. A week later, try tasting it. 2 weeks later, it's stale. It's not good anymore. Same way with the Holy Spirit. Pour it out so he can freshen it. The more you pour out, the more you're going to get into you. The more he's going to give back. The more of the Spirit you're going to have into you. You can never get too much Holy Spirit. I've said this so often. I've been in many cemeteries, and I've never once seen one that said, "Here lies Joe. He died from too much Holy Spirit." Not going to happen. When God asks us to do something, he's going to give us the ability. Most people hate to witness because they say it's so hard. You know, it's hard to witness. It's hard to die on a cross. It's not hard to witness. Somewhere in our mind, we think that we agree that God gave us that command. He wants us to do it. He says he'd give us the power to do it. Now, why in the world do you think that he would come and try and hinder us in any way? He wouldn't, would he? You know what that hindrance is? Anybody that has a mirror, look in it. We're the hindrance. Let me read one more version out of the Gospels on this, the last command, the great command. Mark 16:14-18. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, men after my own heart. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. Has the Lord ever rebuked us? You know, who said no? Oh, okay. You know why he rebukes us? Because he loves us. He loved those men. He poured 3 years and everything he had into those men, right? He loved them. He rebuked them because he loved them. And what did he rebuke them for? Their lack of faith. Do we ever think we don't have enough faith? These guys lived with him for 3 years. They've seen him die. They've seen him come back. They've seen every miracle he did. Yet they had problems with their faith. Don't beat yourself up because you have problems with your faith. Right? It's not your faith. We get the faith from God. Get into prayer. Get with John over there. He'll pray for you. Get in prayer and ask for more faith. He'll give it to you. Amen? He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Well, that's not any of us. Stubborn? Donna, that's not us, is it? No. No. Huh? Me. Who? Me. Oh, yes, I am stubborn. And me. And you. We're all stubborn, aren't we? We're all a little bit rebellious, right? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. It's the Holy Spirit that clothes and covers those defects, right? Those are all sins that Jesus died for. We need to lay them at the cross and go on. We can do everything through Jesus Christ. We can do everything because he has poured out his Holy Spirit on us. Let me read this one. He said to them, "Go into all the world." Where?
All.
All the world. Is there some place that we shouldn't preach? Well, you can't, Bob, you can't say that here. Oh, yes, I can. What are you going to do, throw me out? I'll share a story later. I've been thrown out of better places. Anybody ever been thrown out of a dentist's office? I was thrown out of a dentist's office. I'll mention that in a minute. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Here's your choices. Believe or be condemned. Believe what? That Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do, and he will do it. Right? And these signs will accompany you. See, the word will, they will accompany you. Not that they might, they could. If you're good, they will accompany those that go out in his name. Remember this verse that we're going to read. This is if you're walking in his plan, purpose, and will. Not where you want to go and what you want to do. When he sends you, you're covered. You've got nothing to worry about. In my name, they will drive out demons. That's a little far-fetched. Ed, you don't believe that one, do you? I didn't think you did. We have power over demons. The Holy Spirit in us does. They have to flee at the name of Jesus Christ, not the name of Bob Cassidy. Jesus Christ, right? That's the name we bring. That's why those seven sons of Sceva got their tails beat. Because they didn't know Christ. And the demon knew that, right? It's in his name that we do something, and in his power and authority. They will speak in new tongues. Anybody here speak in tongues? I don't know. Donna trying to speak Mexican, I think, is tongues. I don't know. But he gives us a new tongue, a new heart, a new language. Right? They will pick up snakes with their hands. That sounds silly. Now, believe it or not, I'm an old country boy. As a kid, I grew up in the South. My granddad was a pastor. I've been to snake-handling churches. That's not what we're talking about here. Here again, like Pastor Don always says, somebody took the word of God and twisted it. It's not saying we're supposed to go out and tempt God and do this, is it? Jesus even said that when he was tempted by the devil to jump off a cliff. He says, you don't tempt the Lord. What this is like the story of Paul on the island of Malta. If you remember, that was a pretty bad area for shipwrecks. They were getting shipwrecks there all the time. Most people didn't make it. Paul and his entire crew lived through it. So they build a fire, and all the people around come to see, wow, maybe this guy, these people are something special that, you know, God spared him. And he starts talking to them, giving them the gospel message, which he done anywhere he went, which is what we should do anywhere we go. And what happens? A snake crawls out of the fire and bites him, a deadly snake. Now the people are all around here, whoa, this guy, he must not be sent from God. God must be trying to kill this guy. First he tried to shipwreck him. Now he sends a snake to bite him. So they probably called all their friends, come and see this. This guy's dying. He's gone. Paul kept on preaching. They kept on listening, waiting for him to die. 3 or 4 days later, Paul's still preaching. Something ain't right here. That's what is being talked about in this passage. If you're in God's will, God's purpose, God's plan in your life, don't worry about getting bit by a snake. Worry about getting bit by fear and not doing what God wants you to do. We're not tempting them. We're not in a snake-handling church where they have a box of snakes. I don't think we have one back there. That's why I stay down here, just in case. You never know. And they pick up snakes and just throw them around. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Completely ridiculous. But now this next one. They will drink deadly poison. You have living proof of it right here. I asked my wife to go up in the office and get me a bottle of water. Look what they have in the office. Pond water. Listen, I just drank this and I have not died. Pond water should kill me, right? Pond water. Pastor must have known what I was going to speak about today when he bought that. I don't know where you buy pond water and really don't want to know, but thank God I'm still here.
Corner of Southfield and Drive.
I'll stay away from there. It says it will not hurt them. And the reason actually it says deadly poison here, that was a big way that people killed each other in those days because there was no way to trace it. There were so many poisons and different things around, and, you know, they didn't have a CSI team to come out and in 5 minutes, you know, figure out, well, he died, and this guy here did it, right? It was like a safe, hands-free type of killing. And it was very very prevalent all over the area at this time and in those times. So this is what God is speaking about. Not, there's churches that do that in the South that have poison. This is the truth. And they will pull it, they'll drink it. Pond water is as far as I'm going to go. Thank you. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Have we seen people here healed? Have we seen people in Mexico, all over the world healed, right? I believe in healings. I believe in miracles, right? It's not miracles that I base my faith on. My faith is on Jesus Christ, whether he does it or not. But we love to see that, don't we? People healed. I love to see people healed, but more important, what good is seeing somebody healed if they're going to hell? Wow, I feel great on my way to hell. Well, good. What did you say? The most important thing that we can give. What was that old commercial? Give the gift that keeps on giving. They were talking about diamonds. My wife explained that to me. But there is only one gift that keeps on giving, and that's salvation. Nothing else. There is no other guarantee. Salvation. And you know, that's the only prerequisite for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't go in anything unclean. That's the only prerequisite for having this power, this authority that we're talking about. And that is through Jesus Christ. None other. No other way. You call on his name, 1 second later you can be filled. We know people, it's been several days. I know of a guy, we got saved, we prayed for him up here, nothing happened. Went home, this is on a Sunday. About a couple hours later, I get a phone call. That's what I hear for, who is this? Here's some guy on the phone. Don't even tell me, he was just talking in tongues. What? Who is this? When he finally calmed down, he said nothing happened. He was really feeling bad. You know, these guys all pray for me, and you know, geez, I let them down. I don't know what's going on. He went home, started taking a shower, and right in the middle of his shower, the Holy Spirit hit him. And what's he do? Run out of the shower, dripping all over the place, give me a call. Yeah. Wanted to share that. And that's a feeling we should have every time we get filled with the Holy Spirit. No matter how many times it happens, we should have that new feeling each time, right? And remember, it's not for us to feel good. It's what? It's to go out and do something. Turn with me to Acts. Acts chapter 1. So I'm going to be doing some reading and explaining here. Acts 1, 4 through 10. We always hear, I always speak about Acts 1:8. Well, we're going to enlarge our spirit a little bit today. Let's start at verse 4 and go all the way to verse 10. All right? On one occasion while he was eating with them. Again, this is I love these guys. They're always eating. And it said on one occasion, they were always meeting with him. He was always telling them things. He was always ministering to them. He gave them this command. Command. He didn't say, if you want. If you're not doing something next Tuesday, if you feel like it, he gave them this command. What's a command? Guys, when your wife tells you something, what's that? A command. You don't have to do it, but you will do it. You better do it. Like just Pastor John said, you better send your wife to that retreat. Amen? For our own good, they'll come back a better wife. Who can complain about that? We have a men's meeting, we'll come back a better man. $40? How can you beat that? A better wife for $40. Send them, guys. Not that my wife could be any better. But she's going to go anyway. But do not leave Jerusalem. Same thing he's telling them. Don't leave because you're not ready yet. Right? You're not prepared. You're not armed. You're not covered. You're not ready for the battle yet. But wait for the gift my father promised you. And that's the gift that's going to be their covering. That's the gift that's going to be their protection, their weapon, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. He baptized in the flesh. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That water baptism was a forecasting of the Holy Spirit to come. But now you're going to get the real thing. The real water, the real cleansing, the real power. But listen to this. These guys, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? They still ain't getting it, are they? He's doing that, but not in the way they want, right? We got to remember that when the Holy Spirit's using us. Sometimes we can't, what are you doing, Holy Spirit? You want me to do what? That's ridiculous. No, it's not. It's just as this seemed to make sense to them, that Jesus would now resurrect and come back, was going to pick up a sword and go kill Romans or something. Right? What this is a new kingdom he's preaching now. We're going to win this. He won all of Rome, didn't he? He defeated Rome the right way by converting them. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive power. Again, power, right? What authority does God have? All authority on heaven and earth. And this is God that's giving you the power. What's the limit of your power? There is a limit, but you're absolutely right. There's no limit to the power, but the vessel that's using it is what limits it. Pull out your mirror again. What limits what God can do? What can limits what the Holy Spirit can do? We do. There is, like the pastor said, there is no limit to the power of God. There is no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do. It's just how much you're going to let him do it. Right? We'll sit around and say, God, please send me to Mexico. Send me to China. But he asks you to go talk to your neighbor next door. Oh, I can't do that. But yet you just are praying to go somewhere like that, but you can't go next door and talk to your neighbor. Need a little more of the Holy Spirit sometimes, don't we? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And it goes on. In other words, you start wherever you were put. Where you got saved wasn't by accident. That's where you start. I love the story of that crazy demoniac that lived in the tombs that they stayed away from. You know, anybody went by there, he ran out and bit them. Jesus just touches him. The demons are gone. This man has cleaned up back to the way he was, looking almost as good as I do. Now, this is a great story. This is a great miracle, right? Jesus is now getting in the boat with his disciples to go to the other side. This guy wants to come along. Here, great-looking guy. Here, can I go with you? You know, I'm a great witness. No, you're not. I take you over to the next town. What are they going to see? They're going to see Donovan standing there. A man that just looks great, all cleaned up, polished, knows the word of God, right? What's the big deal? But if he stays where he's at, what Jesus told him, this is where you got saved. This is where your ministry is. They can look and say, isn't that the guy that bit me last week? The guy that ran around for 3 years or something, didn't shave? Now that's a witness. And there's a reason that each one of us are placed where we're at today. You don't have, the minute you get saved, you don't have to go somewhere else. You start right where you stand that time. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Again, it's the last thing he said. But I like this part. Normally we don't talk about this, but think of this for a minute. Verse 10. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before him. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? You ever hear that saying, get your head out of the clouds? This is where it comes from. Don't stand there wondering where Jesus went. Where did he go? When is he coming back? What you need to worry about is doing the last thing he said, which was go out and preach his name into all the world, right? Don't worry about anything else. Just worry about doing what he told you to do. You don't have to answer for when he comes back, when he left. All you have to answer for is what he's asked you to do. And he's asked each and every one of us to go be his witness. Amen? I was going to tell you the story about being thrown out of the dentist office. Other than Pastor Don, I don't know of anybody that would ever be thrown out of a dentist's office. But this was a few years back, and somebody told me he was a good Christian man to go over there, and I did. He was. He was a member of a Baptist church. He was actually a minister in that church. So, hey, all right, I'll go. We were getting along good. He had a receptionist, a young man. You could really tell this guy was saved. He loved God. He was always talking about God. So, you know, he was always started out asking me, you know, what's going on in your church? What's things like that? You know, and I'm telling him the great things that's going on. Well, this happened. That happened. This person went and did. This person got this. And you know, after a while, I think one day I went in. I was so used to him asking me. I didn't even wait. I just went over and started telling him these stories. This guy jumps up and goes, shut up. And this guy, if you've seen him, Mr. Rogers could take him in a fair fight. This was not this guy. I said, whoa, what's the matter? He said, I'm just so tired of hearing this. He said, I've spent my whole life, what there is of it. He was a young man. He was probably about 20s. And I've seen nothing but heartache. They would take him. Their idea of ministering, they had these maps all over the church. We went through the whole town of Taylor. We evangelized Taylor, all of Taylor. What it was, they would take a map, draw outlines, put all these people on a bus, and take them down and say, you can start knocking on every door on that block. Well, this guy said the best thing that happened to him was he got hit, kicked, stuff thrown at him, dogs sicked on him. He said, and then you come in here and tell me these stories. He said, what am I doing wrong? And I smiled. I said, I'm glad you asked. I said, you need the Holy Spirit. You see, when Pastor Don leads a group out in this city, all the stories we come back with. That can be done right, but it has to be done through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it's going to work. The young man got filled with the Holy Spirit. I found out later. I prayed for him, and that was it. I didn't even know till I got a letter from the dentist. I think I'd spent $500 that week. He sent my money back and said, I don't think you were happy with me. I think you ought to go elsewhere. And he threw this young man out of his church. Now listen, he threw this young man out of his church and out of his job in his office. Is that sad? No, that's not sad. That's the best thing that could ever happen to that young man. He was never going to grow there. That was the greatest gift I could have given him, was to get him thrown out of there, because he would have never left. Amen. I don't know what that young man's doing now, what he's doing. But I can imagine what he wouldn't have been doing. It wouldn't have changed. But right now I'd like to share that, you know, we don't even have to go out. It's great that we go out and evangelize our community. We're supposed to do that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is so great, we don't even have to do that. Got a couple stories. Bobby Ramirez, where you at? Get down here. Get down here. There you are. I say that jokingly. I had a drill instructor. We had a gentleman in our platoon. His name was Ramirez. And of all things, it was a Bobby Ramirez. And the drill instructor always called him Ramirez first day. And he stood up and said, that's not my name, sir. He smacked him in the head with his helmet and said, look, that might be your name, but this is my mouth. You don't tell my mouth what to do. Hit him again. So that day, that guy was Private Ramirez. So here is our Private Ramirez. Bobby has just a little story to share that goes right along with this. I'll explain in a minute. I heard this Saturday, but we hear these stories every week at the men's meeting. I know you ladies hear them too, but if you'll go ahead and share what you shared Saturday.
So anyways, this is the third time I've shared the story because I shared it Wednesday at homebrew. This happened Tuesday, in fact. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit. About 12 or 13 years ago, I took a job at the plant, you know, working in the plant. You can bid on jobs. So I took a job as a receiving checker. So one of my duties was to unload and reload the trailers that came in with stock and whatnot. So what I would do is, outside of trying to be a witness by my life, my language, my actions and whatnot, is I would lay my devotional or my Bible or things on the desk, because the drivers, when they come in the plant, they're not supposed to be on the dock. They have to sit down in a secure area so they don't get hit by the high low and whatnot. So I would just, it was like kind of like bait, basically. So over the years, you know, you watch some drivers that come in from out of town, out of state, and then there was the switches that we had that worked on the site that would just switch trailers in and out. So you just kind of watch and see, okay, is anybody taking it, you know? And this one guy in particular, his name was George. I got to meet him. He was a switcher that worked at the plant. And every now and then he'd come in, and I'd, out of the corner of my eye, going in and out of the truck, I'd always see him kind of just like, you know, hands in his pocket. And then eventually he'd sit down on my desk and start like thumbing through our daily bread or whatever I had laying on the table at the time. And a couple months had passed, maybe a year had passed, and finally he got up the courage to come up and say, hey, he goes, are you a Christian? I'm like, yeah. He says, do you go to church? I'm like, yeah, I go to church in Malmedale. And he goes, I want to tell you something. He says, my wife's been inviting me out of church for years. He says, for a long time. And he says, she has a women's group. They pray for me, and they you know, they do all this stuff to reach out to me. He goes, but I just don't feel like I belong in the church. You know, and he didn't elaborate, but you kind of get the sense that he was struggling with some things. So I just encouraged him. I said, you know what, you might want to just try it out. You know, you never know what will happen. So a few months passed by, and he comes in work one day, and you could tell, like, his countenance had changed. He had a smile on his face, and he says, you know what, I want to tell you. So I went to church this past Sunday. He says, it was probably the greatest thing that ever happened in my life, you know. He said, it just, whatever the guy was saying, he just, it was like he was telling my life story. And it's funny how God does that sometimes, you know. So fast forward, like I said, this was like 12 years ago. I hadn't seen the guy because they closed our plant and put us in another plant. So this past Tuesday, actually last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm leaving. I'm coming in the plant. It's kind of dark out in the morning because I start early in the morning. Running a little bit late, and I go through the turnstile, and I cut the corner, and I'm walking this way, and they got the line of trailers that are parked there for the switchers to use, and I see this guy standing up, like, I just see a figure, and he's standing up, and I was like, he's looking right at me. I'm thinking, okay, who is this guy, you know? And he points his finger at me, and we make eye contact, and he goes, Rob, is that you, Rob? I'm like, yeah, and I didn't know his name. I forgot his name. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing, you know? And he goes, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you in a long time. He goes, I thought you took the buyout. I thought you left. I thought you went to Livonia. And like, no, I stayed here. So I was running late, so I didn't have time to talk. So I booked around the corner, went and plant. So last Tuesday, I'm coming out of work, and you know we got hit with that storm. So my thing was, I got to get to the truck, man. It's cold out. I'm getting pelted in the face with this freezing rain. You know, I'm hunched over like this. I got my bag, and I come around the corner, and on the corner of my eye, I could see someone like staring at me, like looking. I'm like, okay, you know, who's this guy? And it's this guy. Well, I had forgotten his name all these years, and the past week and a half, I was telling my wife what happened. I'm like, what is his name? And he called my name out, Rob. And as soon as I turned and looked at him, his name came to me. Now, how do you think that happened? Holy Spirit. I said, George. And he goes, Rob. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? And he jumps off the truck. He comes running over there, and he goes, man, I was hoping I'd see you again. He goes, I want to tell you, I went to church last Sunday. And I'm like, and before I could even ask, like in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I was going to ask him, are you still going to church? Are you still serving the Lord? I didn't get to say that. He just said, I went to church last Sunday. I'm like, that's good, man. I said, so you've been going all this? He goes, no. He goes, I fell away for a long time. He goes, it's been several years since I went to the church. And he goes, I'm struggling, man. And he wouldn't look at me. He just kept looking down. You could tell that he was struggling with something. So it was like the Holy The Holy Spirit just like, it was someone turned the faucet on. Like, all this stuff started coming out, man. Scriptures left and right. I'm encouraging my sister. You know what, George? This is God loves you, man. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you said, or what you thought. His love endures forever, man. I'm telling you. He loves you, man. And within a few seconds, you could see his eyes start welling up with tears. To see a grown man cry, it always gets me, you know. So I'm trying to, I got a lump in my throat. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you know how this sleet is coming down right now? It's hitting us in the face. That's how God's love is for you. I said, it's never going to stop. I said, you may walk away from him and do your own thing. I said, but he's always going to love you, man. And he's always going to be waiting for you to take you back with his arms open. And he goes, he kept shaking his head. He goes, man, he goes, I really needed to hear that. I really, really needed to hear that, man. He goes, I'm so glad I ran into you. He goes, you're like a beacon, man. He goes, every time I see you, you always got something good to see. And you always got a smile on your face, man. So it was kind of cool the way God orchestrated everything. And I told him, I said, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. So all the way home, I'm driving in the snowstorm, going like 10 miles an hour. And I'm praying for this guy. And as I'm praying for him, I'm just like bawling. I'm like just crying in tears. And I want to run into him again. I know that God will definitely cross paths again. But it just goes to show, you know, sometimes like Bob was saying, you get overcome with fear. You think to yourself, I don't know what to say or how I'm going to say it. And it doesn't matter. Just be willing, man. Just say, okay, Lord, here am I. You know, use me. If you can use Bob, you can use me. And he can use all you guys too.
Oh, stay. Let me ask you a couple questions. You met this young man. You just happened to meet him. He just happened to be working where you worked. Mm-hmm. So you didn't get up to go minister. You get up to go to work.
Right.
And God placed him there in your life.
Yep.
And you're ministering to him, got him to start going to church. Amen? That'd be a great story right there, but what did he say? How long was it? It was a few years.
About 12 years.
I
hadn't seen him, yeah.
Had not seen this man. Then all of a sudden, he sees him again. What a coincidence. He didn't know that he had fallen away, did he? But here, there's a man that started the church because of something this man said. Now, if the Holy Spirit wanted to convict this man, where is he going to send him? To see this man again. What a coincidence. How many people work in your plant? You. I don't work.
Thousands. It's a big facility.
Thousands.
Yeah, there's...
Thousands. What a coincidence he run into this one guy after 12 years, just when he needed him, right? What a coincidence. Right? All we have to do is be available. This is the best thing you can do, just like Bobby. Bobby wasn't going out ministering. He was going about his daily business, right? But he knew that Bobby's daily business is building his kingdom, and Bobby will do whatever he asks him. You don't have to go anywhere special. You just have to be special in Christ as you go. Thank you, sir. Give Bobby a hand. Now, that would be just great in itself. But I got another one for you, right? Like that guy selling the Ginsu knives. Today you get two for the price of one. Pastor John, would you come up here? Here's another story that was shared yesterday. Please.
Well, back a few years ago, I went to my 40th high school reunion. And when I did, I ran into all these guys I hadn't literally seen in 40 years, all these people. And, you know, started telling everybody, you know, I'm a pastor now, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm going to church and everything. And everyone was like, wow, really? You know, they're all like, every one of them is like, you kidding me? You're a pastor? You know, like they were all... So in the reason I went was because I felt it even more after that night, after talking with all these people. I really felt that God was going to open doors for me with all these people that I knew from the past, just like you were saying, people that knew you from the past. So I wanted to go there just to make myself available. I have this vision in my head that God's going to use me for some of these people as we're getting older and as they're getting on in age, that they're going to start really thinking, maybe some of them on their deathbeds are going to be saying, well, I know John Russell, he's a pastor now, maybe I'm going to talk to him. So that's where I'm setting myself up for. So, you know, for all these people, you know, for whatever stage they're at, whatever. So anyway, about just at the beginning of Lent here, the first Friday, we were watching my granddaughter, and so I decided to take her out for dinner, just me and her. And I took her out to my favorite place on Friday, Prush's. So, you know, I take my granddaughter out to the bar, you know. And it's a family kind of place. It's a family-run place, and it's all people. And people have birthday parties there and everything. It's a real, actually really a very friendly place. And so I go there for perch. And, they, you know, I know all the people there because I've been going there. And the owner comes out. Joe gives my granddaughter, like, a ring sucker and that kind of stuff. So I'm waiting an hour. There's an hour wait to get a table. That's how long it took. And my little granddaughter's running around, having, you know, just playing, just having a good time. Right when I get up to go to my table, in walks two people from my class. And somebody now, I've seen them a few times since then. They already know I'm a pastor. They know I'm a Christian. And in fact, when I first met them, they actually came here to the church, and they loved it. But they're committed Catholics. So, you know, they had to go back to their church there. So I'm standing up, and they look, man, there's really a lot of people here. And I says, yeah. I says, we got a table. I says, I'm going there right now. I says, you guys want to sit down with me? Yeah, sure. So they came and sat with me and my granddaughter, and we ended up sitting there for an hour. And the conversation after about 20 minutes turned to, so, what's going on in the church? You know? So I started talking about the church, and before I knew it, was talking about salvation and, you know, talking about being raised as a Catholic and how, you know, even though I went to Mass every day, I mean, we literally went every day the whole time I was growing up and on Sunday. So I went six times a week for 10 years. And I never, in all that 10 years, heard about being born again or about salvation. I never knew the meaning. I never heard either of the words. And so I shared that with them. About how the importance of, you know, because I says, hey, when are you guys going to come back by the church? And so he'll say, you in the bucket this week? And I'll go, in the bucket? What are you talking about? He goes, you know, he's talking about the pulpit, you know? And I says, yeah, I'll be at the pulpit. I says, why don't you guys come on out? And so I invited him out, and then we started talking, and I was able to share what salvation and being born again is. I says, you know, it's fine that you're at the Catholic Church. I said, I'd like to see you come out. I says, but what's important is that you understand salvation and being born again. I explained it to him. No, we didn't pray the salvation prayer right there in the bar. I would like to have. I would have, but they weren't at that point. But they've heard now from me twice, you know, and so they know, and we get along real well. They sat there, they gave us a big, both me and my granddaughter, big hugs and, you know, goodbye and stuff. And really a nice couple. And so I'm really expecting, I'm really believing that God is going to give me the ability to touch a lot of these people's lives. This guy plays bass in a band, and I got to go see him in this band. I ended up getting to meet all these guys from the band, and a lot of people from our school were hanging out with them. So all of a sudden, I'm seeing all these people that I used to see when I was 5 through 15. And,
a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. You know, and most of them I hadn't seen in 40 some years. You know, and every one of them, you're a pastor? You know, I mean, none of them could believe it. You know, I used to have long hair, and, you know, I wasn't a pastoral kind of guy, you know, and it's cool. I get a kick out of seeing the you know, that kind of thing. So I'm proud to tell them I'm a Christian, and it's great to, you know, I want to be a resource for them. So, you know, every one of them, I let them know what I do, and, you know, invite them out to the church and tell them, you know, hey, if you ever want to get together, and I've had some good conversations with some of them. And one guy, in fact, was an atheist. He claims to be an atheist. And he came here to church. And also one day, a few of these people have come out and visited now. And he came to church, and he wrote, he got on his Facebook page and said, my esteemed friend, Pastor John, I went to church Sunday. He says, you know me, I'm an atheist, but guess what? I went to church Sunday, and exclamation points, brackets, you know, hashtags, whatever you want to call it. And he says, and my esteemed friend Pastor John was there speaking, and he says, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And then he put our logo and a link to our church on his Facebook page. And then I went to lunch with him one time, and I says, "Do you mind if I pray for lunch?" And he goes, "Don't pray for mine." He says, "It ain't going to make any difference for me." I said, "Well," I says, "I'd like to pray anyway." I says, "And if I'm going to pray, I'll pray for yours too." And he goes, "Hey, whatever floats your boat, you know." And so I ended up praying, and he looks at me after, and he says, "You know what? For a pastor, you're an all right guy." So these are the kind of things, you know. I love, you know, being able to share Christ with them.
Amen.
And them, yeah, knowing me, as Bob was saying, they knew me as, you know, the rock guy, you know, long hair, you know, into music and stuff like that. That's how, you know, they all knew me from school, and a jokester. And I was never a Christian. I had no thought that I would ever be a Christian. And so it's nice to be able to, like, sort of blow people's minds, you know, and tell them who you are, who you love, and who you live for. And it's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. It's, you know, it's something to be proud of and have fun with it, you know?
Amen.
And, you know, it's a good thing. And my real hope, my desire is, like I said, I hope some of them, I'll be able to lead them to the Lord, you know, from now until whenever there's one.
Thank you. The gist of that great story was that, I'll quote Humphrey Bogart here, of all the gin joints in all the world, you got to walk into mine. What are the odds of the one couple that did come out to church, did listen to the pastor at that time, come out to church, to just happen to walk in the same place that he was the same time? Now, what do you think the odds are? Vegas wouldn't even give you odds. You know what the spiritual odds are? Dead sure it's going to happen. Amen? That's God. Now listen, these are not stories that just, you know, I brought them up here because, wow, this is something special. This is something we see every day. Amen? If you're not seeing this in your life, could I have the prayer team come up? If you're not seeing this in your life, you can. Anybody ever seen the Indiana Jones movie, the original one? That's how it should be every day. You get up, put on your leather jacket, your big hat, get your whip, and you're headed out for an adventure because you know something is going to happen. Amen? Whether you're going for fish, you're just going to work. You know what? The Holy Spirit's at Precious. The Holy Spirit is it Ford you work at? You better come up for prayer, but we'll talk about that later. Amen? So if that's not happening in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to get more of the Holy Spirit. These two lovely couples here that are very well filled with the Spirit, but these are people that's really filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want more of that Spirit, you want to see these stories like these two guys, our pastor and Bobby, said today, you want your life like that, you come up and get some prayer. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that, as you said, you were not leaving us alone, Father. Jesus, even as you left, you said, no, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send one. Even greater things will you do. And Father, we thank you for that gift, that guidance, Father God, that power that gives us the boldness to speak for you, Father God. Father, I pray for just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We want more and more. Father, I pray that everyone here, starting tomorrow morning, think about this before you do it. Make sure that you mean it before you say this. You get up out of bed and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen.